All right. We are kind of in transition for us. The next couple of weeks are going to be a little bit different, but good. We have today I'm going to speak to us about prayer and just kind of thinking about prayer in our family, prayer as a church family, and really focus in on that. Next week, you know, I talked about Steve needing to get filled up, and just this weekend, is a coming weekend, is one that I've done for the last several years. I get away with my buddies, and I tell you about how much food we ate when I come back. But it's just an opportunity to get away with other ministers, and we take one of my friends from one of my professors from Great Lakes, and we just hunker down, and we do quite a bit of Bible study, and then we have some fun time doing goofy things like we end up playing. We have a football, and we'll end up playing like frisbee golf with a football. And through the woods, and we are, we call it holy frivolity, just doing stupid things together as brothers. So so it's edifying to my soul to do something dumb with Christian brothers, and that's today's lesson. Go do something dumb with your Christian friends. So that's just a great opportunity for me to be energized and encouraged, and I leave Wendy home with the three kids, so it's great for her to be energized and encouraged. I don't think that's right, but so we're going to be gone next week. Tim's going to preach for us. Then the week after that is Mother's Day, and so we'll be sharing an encouraging word about moms and families and what we can do together to just really encourage our families and our community. And then after that, it's that May 21st is graduation Sunday. And then after that, it's Memorial Day, and Memorial Day we'll be hosting here, and Pastor Joe Lampton from the United Methodist Church across the street, he'll be sharing with us that weekend. So we have kind of a busy month of May, a little bit different things here and there, and so just a heads up on all of that. For now, we're going to be spending time on the topic of prayer, and so I have decided that we would look at Psalm 143, and I'm going to give it a little follow-up as well with some just practical tips on prayer. I just want you to think back to your prayer life in the last week, and how many times were you interrupted in your prayers? How many times did you yourself interrupt your own self with all the crazy things going on in your brain? That's me, like every time. It's like, La La Land in there. There's all kinds of things going on. And so I feel like prayer is something that we need to come back to every once in a while, encourage ourselves in. It's such an important activity. If you were to survey Christians and just say, what's the most important thing that you do as a Christian, or what is something that you identify as being a Christian, survey from Barna says that 75% of people would answer prayer to God is the number one, their number one activity for being a Christian, and what it means to be a Christian for them. Whether or not that's true or not, I don't know, but we pray. We're encouraged to pray. When someone's going through a need, we'll often say to them, I'll pray for you. And I just wanted to kind of take a step back and say, you know, if this is such an important activity in our lives, every once in a while we kind of need a tune-up in it, and a little maintenance. And so today's sermon is tune-up and maintenance on our prayer life, and I think it's something that we will all need and be encouraged by. And so I wanted to spend a little bit of time just walking through Psalm 143. Psalm 143 is a penitential prayer. There are several of them in Psalms, and it is a way of praying and asking God to forgive you, a way of praying that asks God for guidance and wisdom, and it's a way of praying words that would ask God to vanquish our enemies, more like God would help us and deliver us from the troubles that we're in. And so this is a prayer that helps us kind of get to our own spiritual walk. A lot of times we're really focused about other people, which is really good, and what God wants us to do. But there's also an element of prayer that's about us, ourselves, our personal walk with God. And so I'd like to just take a little time this morning and walk through the 143rd Psalm, and really just kind of what are some insights from there, and then I want to follow it up with some encouragements and practical tips. So let's go. In Psalm 143, it reads, a psalm of David. Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. So we don't know the circumstances in which David is facing, but we obviously see right from the onset that this is a cry for help, a cry for mercy, a cry for God to come and bring relief. And it's in this sort of perfect trust that God is righteous and God can care for him. So something is wrong with the person uttering this prayer. Something is wrong in their life. There's some personal thing going on. Have you ever had a personal problem going on in your own life? David will give us some words to say. And so we want to go to the righteous one for the relief. Like, he's the one, God's the one that we want to turn to. No one else is righteous but him. And says he says, do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. And so he appeals to the righteousness of God and the brokenness of man. When we come to God, it's important to be aware, hey, we're broken, and God's the one who's right. We need to trust in him. It says in verse 3, the enemy pursues me. He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in the darkness like those long dead. So my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. I think we can all express days in our life that we have felt dismay, we felt disheartened, discouraged, and not really sure how to move forward. And so we're asking, or so this text will start giving us some language and some words to start in our prayer life with God. He says in verse 5, I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. So part of our prayers should be a recollection of the faithfulness of God. We should show God that we recognize his loving kindness that's been expressed to us in our life. Express with gratitude the many ways in which God has cared for you. Like, so I remember the time that God watched over me in this occasion. And we just take the moment to say, thank you, God, for helping me. You've been dependable before, and I know you'll be dependable now. It's just a reminder that God likes to hear about all the cool stuff he did. If you're God, I think you would probably delight in that, wouldn't you? It's like, oh yeah, thanks for remembering, you know, that you didn't forget that I was there for you. And so God delights in our thanksgiving. He delights in our gratitude. He delights in being reminded of his unfailing love. And so our prayer life should embody quite a bit of that, of gratitude and thankfulness for what Christ has done. And so then in verse 6, David says, I spread out my hands to you. I thirst for you like a parched land. To me, this is a sign of repentance, a sign that things have not gone so well. I'm turning to you with outstretched arms. I am thirsting for you. And it's almost an expression of his dependence. Like, I am a dry and parched land. I need you to nourish me. I also kind of sense within David an expression of, I've gotten this far on my own. I thirst for you. I desire for you. I can't go any further. And so he asks God to answer him quickly. Answer me quickly, Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. The pit is equal to Sheol, which is the place of the dead in the Old Testament. When God hides his face from us, it's at the very least a removal of God's blessing, and its worst is that it's indicative of suffering and death. So if you read that God turned his face from them, this is bad news. You don't want God to turn his face from you. And so he is asking God not to turn his face from him. He's asking for God to send his spirit to give him help and strength, that his spirit is failing. He needs encouragement. And so then here it gets to kind of like the nuts and bolts of the message. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for you, for to you I entrust my life. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground for your name's sake. Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. In your unfailing love, silence my enemies. Destroy my foes, for I am your servant. And so in the concluding part of this prayer is an expression of David entrusting his life to God. Prayer is an act of loyalty to Jesus Christ. I think that sometimes we forget that. But just by turning to Christ in prayer is an act of where our loyalties lie. We aren't turning to the help of Google. We aren't turning to the help of the WikiHow page. We don't turn to BuzzFeed. We don't turn to these practical tips on Christian living. We turn to Christ in our time of need. It's an expression of our loyalty. Lord, teach me. Lord, show me. Lord, lead me to do your will. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. Let your spirit be the one that leads me. So show me the way I should go, for I entrust my life to you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground for your name's sake. That's a critical sort of component, is in the name of Christ. By asking it in God's name, it's then putting it on him to accomplish and what his will desires. And we get hung up on why our prayers aren't answered the way we want them to. Well, if we pray these things in Jesus' name, then we're asking for it to be done in his name, and he's going to accomplish his will. And so we need to trust in God for the results. So this is a model for us to follow. And I can say that we can follow this as a model because it seems to me that it has an awful lot of overlap to Jesus' prayer that he instructs his disciples. Jesus had such a way of praying that the disciples wanted to know how to pray, and they actually asked Jesus, hey, teach us how to do this. And so Jesus, he prayed in such a way that he invited God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven, for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, for his will to be accomplished, for him to deliver us from evil, for him to lead us out of temptation, for God's will to be accomplished. And so when we pick up Psalms like 143, and we start expressing, God, lead us and teach me. Let your will be done. We are really just representing the Lord's Prayer and an expression of God to lead our lives. So, there's kind of the message, the content. Now I'd like to just spend a little bit of time with just some pointers and tips, practical advice on prayer. The first thing would be go ahead and pray. But within our prayers and within our conversation with God, I think the most important thing is that we put our focus on God. When I wrote that down, I thought, boy, isn't that a great point? We need to focus on God. But it's easier said than done. In Hebrews 3:1, Hebrews is a great book on reminding us on how magnificent Christ is in all these different ways that God has done something amazing through Christ. And in Hebrews 3:1, it says, therefore, my holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. Preachers, from as long ago as the book of Hebrews, have been reminding people to fix their thoughts on Jesus. It's much easier said than done, but I see in Psalm 143:5, I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. It seems like common sense. Put our focus on God. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Meditate on the works of God. As common sense as it might be, we realize that oftentimes we spend more time thinking about our circumstances, our problems that we have, or the gutters that need cleaning. We have a mind that wanders. My favorite scene in any movie is in the movie Up, and they discover that the dog can talk, and he's telling them all this stuff, and then squirrel, you know, and he's focused on the squirrel. Who has been focused on the squirrels in their prayers of late? You know, the distraction. So fixing our thoughts on Christ, yeah, I get it. We need to fix our thoughts on Jesus. It's easier said than done. And we point out all the different squirrels. And so here's what I do, and perhaps you have over time learned some things to help you with focusing. One of the things I do to help me focus on Jesus is actually have a pen and paper right nearby, because I'll start praying and then I'll be thinking about squirrels and I'll have to write down whatever that thing is that I'm thinking about. It's like, oh, I got to do that. So I write it down, because otherwise, if I don't, I just keep thinking about the thing I have to do. Who's with me? All right, so I just take pen and paper down and I jot down, what is it, the thing that my brain keeps telling me I have to do? You may be one who journals. I'm not one who journals, but I've heard countless studies as to the benefits of it, and so maybe we just all need to encourage each other to journal. But when you sit down and journal, the benefits are that you get to see what you've been praying for. You get to look back and see how God has answered those prayers. You get to go back years before and see, and so there's so much benefit to it, but it also gives us focus when we sit down. Say, what is it that I've been praying for? It gives us so many more things to be grateful to God for and what he's done. And so it just kind of gives a lot of focus to what we're doing. I like to calm myself and just sort of breathe a little bit and just calm myself and not just hurry into a prayer. Sometimes I'm guilty of the quick Jesus prayer, thanks for the, you know, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, and get to eating. But really taking time around the table with our families, taking time before a meal to really calm ourselves and really think about, am I grateful for this meal that I'm expressing my gratitude to God for right in the moment? And so just really giving pause and recognizing the gift of God and the life we have in Him. And so taking time to breathe and just set yourself up for success. I recommend putting away your distractions. This little thing right here can be incredibly distracting to my prayer life. Set it on silent mode. I know that we're all so incredibly important that if we miss a Facebook update, or if we miss a tweet, or if we miss a text message from somebody, or heaven forbid a call, you know, that we're worried about all of those things. Just set it aside, put it on do not disturb mode, turn it off, put it in an envelope, mail it to Timbuktu. I don't care what you do, but if we could focus in our prayer life and just set aside the things that so easily distract us, that we got enough things going on, rattling around in our brains. If we want to have a little more focus in our prayer life, we need to set ourselves up for success. And so fix your thoughts on Christ. I know it's practical. I know it's like, oh yeah, that's what prayer is. But we need to have a little help. One of the things that has helped bring focus for me is just having scriptures in mind. Sometimes I don't know what to pray, so I'll pick up Psalm 143. So I'll pick up Psalm 23 and just think about God and thank Him for being my shepherd. When I'm feeling like I don't know quite how to express my gratitude or thankfulness for who Christ is, I like picking up Colossians 1 and reading that beautiful passage describing all that Jesus has accomplished. I like picking up Philippians 2 and just reflecting on what Christ did in His humility and expressing gratitude for what God has done and accomplished through Christ, His humble servant. And so I just want to pick up passages of Scripture that help me express my gratitude and bring focus to what I'm praying. And so a next step in kind of a tune-up on our prayer life is perseverance in prayer. David says of his own self in verse 4, "So my spirit grows faint within me, my heart within me is dismayed." Sometimes life doesn't go as we hope. Sometimes we don't feel like our prayers are being answered. And sometimes we just enter into silence with God, and it seems like He forgot to pick up the other end. And so Jesus offers us counsel in His word. In Luke 1, or 18:1, Jesus tells a parable to His disciples. Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up, that they should persevere in their prayers. And He says in this strange story, in verse 2, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea. Grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So God is not like the reluctant neighbor. He's not like the unjust judge. Even though Christians may have to wait for answers, God will answer. Prayers to God have a degree of irony to them, but we press forward anyways and we persevere. The Bible frequently expresses that God knows our needs before we ask them, but we are instructed by Jesus to ask anyways. Jesus says in Matthew 6:8, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. He knows our needs, but we need to be patient. We need to persevere. God will hear the requests of his children. So be patient and keep going to him. Paul, he picks up in Romans 12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. We're to persevere in our prayers even when life is difficult. We need to stay alert in our prayers. Ephesians 6:18 comes to mind. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, in all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Keep praying. It's discouraging to pick up our prayer list and it seems like, man, I've been praying for this, and it's just not going. We just keep going to God with the needs of our church family. We need to persevere in thankfulness. Paul says in Colossians 4, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Always be on the lookout for the things to be thankful for and express them to God. I would encourage us as a family to sit down with our children and read through and pray through the prayer list that we have every week. Whose job is it to teach our kids to pray? It's yours. It's the parents. If you want your kids to have a relationship with so many different people and friends and connections, you want your kids to fit in all these pressures of trying to get our kids to hang out with other kids and grow. The best relationship we can offer our kids is a relationship with God, and the best way we do that is teaching them how to pray. So we pray and we teach our kids to have a relationship with God and to grow up in Him. And so finally, I would just say that we need to pray in everything, in every situation, in all circumstances. We need to persevere. We need to put our focus on Christ, and in everything, pray. David says, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, Lord, preserve my life in your righteousness. Bring me out of trouble in your unfailing love. Silence my enemies. Destroy all my foes, for I am your servant. God, lead me, guide me, deliver me from evil and temptation. Paul says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. He expresses in 2 Corinthians a frustration when his prayers seem to go unanswered. He says, therefore, in 2 Corinthians 12:7, therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh from the messenger of Satan to torment me. We don't know what that thorn in the flesh is, but Paul says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And so Paul, probably one of the best prayers ever, didn't get his prayer answered the way he wanted to, but he got it answered, and he says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Having a contentment in answered prayer when it doesn't go our way, but trusting that it's done in God's name, that we can trust in Him. So we pray to God in everything, and we seek His peace and His strength. And so my final recommendation is to find a quiet place in which you can seek God in everything, every day. That you would take time to be a people of prayer. There was a sermon a long time ago at a chapel at Grey Lakes Christian College, and I forget the guy's name to give him credit, but he had this nice little turn of phrase that I thought, that's good stuff. And he simply said, before you face your day, face your Father. Before you face your day, face your Father. And it's just practical, simple little tip to wake up before your feet hit the ground. Say, God, please lead me to live for you today, to seek your will, to love you, to care for the people that I need to care for, to be obedient, to see with your eyes the needs that are around me. Before your feet hit the ground, let it be a day devoted to God and service to Christ. We have all kinds of prayers in the good book of the Bible. They can express heartache and frustration. And the Bible describes a God big enough to handle our hurt, God big enough to handle our frustrations and anxiety, a God big enough to handle all of our worries. And so I'd invite you into a relationship with Him. We express it through closing our eyes, bowing our heads. We can say it driving down the road. We can do it through singing songs. There's a guy named Andrew Peterson who is a musician. And sometimes in my life, I don't know how to pray. And you just feel so frustrated and you don't know how to express what you're feeling. And there are a few songs that I can just turn to and I can play those, and I don't sing it in public, but I'll sing with him in my own private area so that, you know, people don't run away. But it's just an opportunity to express and find words to say to God, and it has been of incredible benefit and help. YouTube, you can YouTube instrumental Christian hymns or prayer hymns, and you can have an hour and a half of quiet music playing that you might lead you to sleeping, but for me, it has those old familiar tunes. And just being reminded of the old rugged cross as you're playing, being reminded of the holiness of God as you're praying. The key to the whole thing is to sit down and do it. And so I just like to issue a small but important challenge. Would you commit yourself to praying every day this week? Commit yourself to praying. I don't care how long. The more righteous you are and the better person you are. So really make it really long. But commit yourself to praying every day. Before you face your day, face your Father. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. God, collectively right now, I just invite all of my friends here, my family, for all of us in our own minds, talk to you and tell you what we're thankful for. So God, we're just going to sit for a moment and just tell you what we're thankful for in our own life. And bring to mind now a time of just great clarity when we knew you showed your unfailing love towards us. And we want to thank you for that. God, we want to thank you now for leading us, being our hope, our salvation. God, maybe it's been a while since some of us have prayed, and so please help us this week to make it a regular part of our life, to grow in you, to be encouraged, to have a relationship grow deeper with you. And God, for this day that has been about reaching out in the community, God, we pray for Ecclesia tonight. that if someone would be lost, they would be found tonight in a moment of worship. God, we pray for our community as a whole and the ministry efforts that we have to share and care for people around us. God, we pray for our marriages. We pray that you would build up our families. We pray, Lord, for our widows and divorcees. God, we pray for those who are hurting in their relationships. We thank you for your unfailing love, for your kindness, for your forgiveness. God, we pray for our church family that you would continue to lead us and grow us and help us to disciple one another and be obedient to your Son. Heavenly Father, lead your church. Teach us your ways. Mold us and shape us into the image of Christ, that we might be the body here in Etna Green, Tippecanoe, Bourbon, Atwood, and our community, Lord. People would see the good deeds that we do and bring glory to your name, that we would shine brightly for you in all the things we do. Lead us and help us, heal us, guide us, Lord. It's in the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.